contribute to this open source network of experimentation around seed diversity. Experimental Farm Network.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Matthew Whitney Harrington, Camp Hill, Hudson Community Dinner Return. Come one, come all. Community Dinner is back at Camp Hill, Hudson on Tuesday, September 5th at 5:30 p.m. in evening time at our Solaris building at 360 Warren Street, Hudson, New York. Come experience community meal, new people and old friends over a fresh prepared meal with lovely vegetables meal by local volunteers. We'd be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Crystal Scott of Earlton, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Forgotten Geek presents Want Hitters on WGXC 90.7 Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Corey McCaslin here with the year in Billboard Top 40 One Hit Wonders for 1978, a year that saw your humble host enter kicking and screaming into this world. We've got a decent bit of less remembered hits, along with live performances, remixes, and covers of classics by Warren Zevon and Patti Smith, plus more. Now, though, we head into the trenches for Geek Speak. In strike news, the WGA is mulling over the latest offer following the first formal meeting since the strike began. telling membership progress has been made on addressing AI, but not regarding mini rooms and streaming residuals. With Hurricane Hillary ready to strike, all demos for Monday are canceled, of course. WGA West also issued a report calling for government regulation against anti-competitive practices by Disney, Amazon, and Netflix, accusing the studios and/slash streamers of abusing their dominance to further disadvantage competitors, raise prices for consumers, and push down wages for the creative workforce, and calling for blocking of further consolidation and increasing regulation and oversight. While it's not necessarily shilling for the studios to question the timing of this, they are in negotiations, and consolidation seems to slow down, and unions can either have tunnel vision and or not always the best interest of their members. Yeah, no, I'm going to call the majority of an honest attacks against the WGA in the comments on the Deadline article is nothing but studio shills, too lazy or stupid to bother registering an account. And Hollywood's front page is already sus for putting up a, the WGA needs to tone down their rhetoric comment as one of their comment section quotes on the front page for a while. And eventually replacing that with a, okay guys, let's get this done so everyone get back to work. Felt too transparently, hey, we're not shills, in response to the guilds calling out the trades for towing the studio line. One bit I forgot from last show's catch-up, last month discussing film, tweeted that part of the studio's AI proposal, SAG-AFTRA, was to scan a background actor's likeness for one day of pay and use it forever with no further pay, let alone consent. But unions are being unreasonable too. Something that might get the studios to stop their intransigence is investor unrest. Trustees of New York City's $250 billion pension funds recently warned Disney, Paramount, and Comcast that if the strikes continue for much longer, they risk loss of investor confidence. In letters to Disney, Comcast, and Paramount CEOs, signed by New York City Comptroller Brad Lander on behalf of trustees of the city's five pension funds, they were urged, quote, to end the WGA and SAG after strikes promptly to ensure long-term stability, unquote, of their businesses and their shareholders' investments. Landers also expressed concern regarding the business practices that led to this conflict and how they could threaten the stability for NYCRS investments in their companies. Hear that, Mr. Iger, Backish, and Roberts? It's the sound of the whip hand warming up. Overworked Marvel VFX artists assemble. Crews at Marvel Studios filed for unionization election with the National Labor Relations Board. A supermajority of the 50 worker crew signing authorization cards saying they want representation by the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, who represent a great deal of behind-the-scenes crew such as designers, art directors, editors, hair and makeup artists, and more. This would give them access to health care, pensions, and basic protections for workers who also currently only get a flat fee with no overtime where they work 12 or 18 hours, for a company that pumped out the same amount of content minute-wise in Phase 4 as the entirety of Phase 1 through 3. Unionization could also be coming for reality TV contestants. Bethany Frankel from Real Housewives NYC has already suggested performers should go on strike to win residuals and fight workplace abuse and hired attorneys Brian Friedman and Mark Garagos to investigate alleged abuse. SAG-AFTRA, which represents hosts but not performers, subsequently stated they're in discussions with Friedman about such coverage. Friedman also fired off a letter to NBC Universal's legal, stating, quote, please be advised that the day of reckoning has arrived, unquote, saying they're representing a significant amount of individuals from unscripted shows alleging gross mistreatment of reality stars and crew. Two lawsuits are targeting the infamous concept of Hollywood accountant, where the best example is how a mega blockbuster like Men in Black, which also raked in a great deal of merchandising profits, can still be claimed to be in the red by Sony decades later. Film financier TSG has filed suit against Disney, accusing them of using every trick in the book to hoard hundreds of millions from films they've helped finance, including Avatar, The Way of Water, Bohemian Rhapsody, and more. Meanwhile, The Hollywood Reporter reports that the Nun actress Bonnie Aarons is suing Warner's New Line and Scope Productions for breach of contract. Her suit alleges she was denied a nearly $200,000 bonus and share of gross for merchandise exploiting her likeness as a titular demonic sister. Today's first set begins with the theme to Richard Pryor's 1977 remake of the Italian comedy The Seduction of Mimi. Here's Stargard with theme song from Which Way Is Up.
Thank you.
That was the Michael Zager Band with Let's All Chant. The producer for such artists as Whitney Houston, Luther Vandross, Herb Albert, and more scoring his own hit, which peaked on May 20th, 1978 at number 36 on the Billboard Top 40. Prior to that was Stargard's number 21 peak and April 1st hit theme song for the Richard Pryor film, Which Way Is Up. Elemental had more sizzle and steam than it initially looked, Disney has confirmed. The Mouse released a statement on the eve of this week's digital release stating, with puns I don't like as much as mine, that Pixar's latest, in spite of a bad Cannes debut and soft opening, ended up making $400 million worldwide as it clung on thanks to, I kinda liked it, word of mouth, the first non-franchise animated film to do so since 2017. Speaking of franchises, Paramount Animation will be sticking to this that for theatrical in the foreseeable future. CEO Brian Robbins told Variety Hermit Crab Tale Under the Boardwalk will go to Paramount Plus instead of theatrical, while they focus on Turtles, SpongeBob, and Avatar. He also commented on some live-action franchise developments, saying work continues on the latest reboot of The Saint, and they're looking at continuing Dungeons & Dragons, but are looking for a cost-effective sequel. I suggest either one set entirely in a dungeon, or an adaptation of the last campaign my dungeon master subjected us to, the infamously hard, dark horror campaign Cursed of Strahd. It's a bird, it's a plane, it might not be canceled after all. Speaking to THR Podcast, CW Entertainment President Brad Schwartz said that depending on performance, the shortened fourth season of Superman and Lois might not be the last after all. The Scoundrel Gone Straight, relatively speaking, in a galaxy far, far away is finally coming to Disney+. After a 2020 announcement that Donald Glover would lead a Lando series followed by nothing, Above the Line broke and IO9 confirmed. He and brother Steven signed on to write a Lando series for the streamer before the strike. Not long after this, Billy Dee Williams took the zitter to tease he's coming back, hopefully for more than a glorified walk-on. While it's possible the Lando show could cover two periods of his life, he could also easily appear in the Filoni-verse, be it the shows or the movie crossover, or help out Rey with that new Jedi Order. Disney may have unintentionally hinted at future project delays in their Q3 earnings report. When it came to the preview for their slate through next summer, the May 6th scheduled Deadpool 3 was not on the list. Also missing was the beleaguered and already delayed Echo miniseries, long finished and supposed to air this November. Loki Season 2 was on the list, but the October 6th premiere date was missing. My condolences, Spidey fans, but even with the Destroyer, Spider marriage is no longer at the House of Ideas. I knew this was what was coming when Marvel teased they were doing a sequel to, quote, the most controversial Spider-Man story ever, unquote. Next year, Spider-Man Reign will get an uncalled-for sequel. Why was the original controversial? Well, it wasn't because he sold his marriage to the devil, nope. Instead, it was basically Dark Knight Returns or Old Man Logan, with a Peter who lost MJ years ago to cancer brought about by... So hard to word this without breaking the community standards. Unexpected side effects of the radioactive spider bite that changed fluids with him that MJ came into contact with. Someone who wouldn't be so shy about explaining that is Catherine Tremell, Sharon Stone's character in Basic Instinct. Deadline broke that on November 1st, Sumerian Comics will begin a comic series sequel to Verhoeven and Esterhaus's controversial erotic neo-noir classic that by default has to be better than the movie sequel. Eisner-nominated Scarlet Witch and Spider-Women artist Vanessa R. Del Rey will team with writer Sam Freeman and colorist Caleb Lario for the story of an art director thrust into an investigation into a series of murders copycatting the ice pick murders Tremell was accused of. Pazuzu! Pazuzu! He's not in here! David Gordon Green told IGN that the demon behind possessions in The Exorcist Believer isn't the Mesopotamian God of Winds from prior installments, saying it's a new demon but one that demonologists will recognize. Warriors! Come out and sing! Ending Geek Speak with an amusing item that also requires a big grain of salt. According to the New York Post, Lin-Manuel Miranda isn't holding the shot to adapt the 1965 Saul Urich novel adapted by Walter Hill into the 1979 film classic The Warriors. which followed a New York City street gang's desperate quest to return to their territory after being framed for the murder of a respected gang leader seeking to unite the disparate and very colorful gangs. Bringing us up to the bottom of the hour is our next set, starting with 5705 from City Boy.
5705, but there's no reply.
Forgotten Geek presents One Hitters 1978 on WGXC continues. That was Native New Yorker by Odyssey, which made it to number 21 on February 18th's Billboard chart. Or that was October 14th, number 27 peaking hit, 5705 by City Boy. Next up is a disco standard, or rather a remix. Here's Alicia Bridges' I Love the Nightlife, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert remix.
Action! Yeah.
Mighty Pope gave Patti Smith's classic Because of Night a funky disco sheen. The original peaking at number 13 on June 24th, 1978's Billboard Top 40. Prior to that was the Priscilla Queen of the Desert remix of the Alicia Bridges classic I Love the Nightlife, the original boogie, and all the way to number 5 on December 23rd. Now let's go to Trader Vic's for a piña colada with a hairy friend as the legendary Warren Zevon performs his One Bite at the Top 40.
Menu in his hand, walking down O'Connell Street in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fook's. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Ah, ooh. Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Around your kitchen door, you better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Rahoo, werewolves of London. Here comes that dangerous man. Problem, Whitey Rocktail. They call him Mac the Knife and Fork for running amok in County Cork. Well, lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Ah, Chaney walking with the Queen. They were doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen. They were doing the werewolves of London. I saw Peter Cushing walking with the Queen. They were doing the werewolves of London. Yeah. I saw Oliver Reed walking with the Queen. We're talking about Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. Rahoo. 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 Yeah. Werewolves of London.
Peace. much less time to press the FM. Look down at no one, live longer lives, you know. They're just a bunch of crazy little guys. Well, I just want more short people. I need more short people. I pay for short people around me. Yes, I would. Chaplin. Ooh, Napoleon. Oh, the Columbus.
Short people.
Party, Paul Simon,
Carrie
Fisher, Rod Stewart, Willis Shoemaker, former Mayor A.B. Rooney, Allen, Lucia Khaki and Cousy, the new star dress, Judy Garland, Otto Johnson, Peter Lorre, Chris Reed. Temple Black,
short people.
Ralph Lovabella, Brandon Lee, Robert Blake, listen to Paul Williams,
short people.
Louisa May Alcott, Bobby Short, Tom Hayden,
short
M, Tom Thumb, Ricky Schroeder, Gummo, Groucho, Chico, Hopper, Zeppo.
So you ought to know.
Ooh.
We started our penultimate set with a live 1981 Irish TV performance by Warren Zevon of Werewolves of London, the original peaking at number 21 on May 13, 1978. After that was Chevy Chase's Midnight Special retort to Randy Newman's Short People, the future Oscar winner's controversial and misunderstood hit, making it just short of number one to peak at number two on January 28th. Finally, we heard Matthew Sweet and Lindsay Buckingham's cover of Magnet and Steel, the Walter Egan original getting to number eight on August 26th. Our last full set is a zigzag of covers and covered up, starting with Mexican band Lone Star's version of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, Comprension.
Oye, quiero decirte, niña, si alguna vez en algo te ofendí, que pienses que hay momentos que no puedo contenerme y vuelvo a ser aquel que siempre fui. Más quiero encontrar siempre en ti comprensión. Señor, hazme digno de ella y de su amor. Hay veces, niña, que sueño en ti y vivo de una ilusión. Y hay veces en que solo cualquier cosa me preocupa y ya no ves en mí nada de amor. Más quiero encontrar siempre en ti comprensión. Señor, hazme digno de ella y de su amor. Quiero que sepas que soy muy feliz solo con tenerte siempre junto a mí. Y con el tiempo muy pronto verás que ya nunca, nunca de mí te irás. Yo te quiero. Tengo defectos y te pido perdón. A veces creo que no te merezco. Y por tenerte doy gracias a Dios. Más quiero encontrar siempre en ti comprensión. Señor, hazme digno de ella y de su amor. Más quiero encontrar siempre en ti comprensión. Señor, hazme digno de ella y de su amor.
By the rivers of Babylon, where he sat down,
Last set of this one hitters began with Comprehension by Lone Star, covering the Nina Simone classic Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. The cover of that by Santa Esmeralda, peaking at number 15 on February 18, 1978. Then we heard the original Rivers of Babylon by The Melodians, Boney M's cover, making it to number 30 on August 26th. Thanks for listening. I'll be back in 3 Tuesdays. Stay safe as we go out with George Clinton sampling a hit he contributed to, Funkadelic's One Nation Under a Groove, which peaked at number 28 on November 18th. Here's Loopzilla.
Like planet rock, we just don't stop, we're gonna drive you nuts. They drive you up the wall, we drive you up.